as Maulana mentioned, there are people who, despite different religions, work for human rights and for justice. One name that comes to our mind and which we will never forget is a young daughter of the United States. Her name was Rachel Elene Corrie. At the young age of 23, in her senior year of college, she on her own had joined the international solidarity movement and had gone to Rafah and the Gaza Strip, where on March 16, 2003, she was brutally killed while trying to block a Palestinian home by an American Caterpillar bulldozer done by an American-sponsored Zionist entity. And despite the fact that the parents, Craig and Cindy Corrie, appealed to the Israeli justice system, they never got the justice, even till today, from the Second Palestinian Intifada till today. But the Muslim community, and particularly Muslim Congress, would like to honor her with a special award. I would like to request Hujjat al-Islam Maulana Abbas Elia, who has worked with the Corrie family in Seattle, to come and present the award. And if Sister Cindy Corrie is here, if she could also say a few words after accepting the award. So with a loud salawat, let's welcome Sister Cindy Corrie. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah for this great opportunity. Muslim Congress feels blessed with the presence of Honorable Cindy Corrie, the mother of this great hero of United States. Rachel was not just a hero for United States, I consider her a hero of humanity. And she definitely raised this bar very high. A great moral standard, a lady of conscience who has the guts, the courage, the conscience to stand up against the root of the oppressions which is committed by the Zionists, ruthless people who are killing innocent people, innocent civilians, babies, pregnant women, almost on every day, daily basis you find those horrific news coming from the Zionist state. Rachel stood up alone because she had her conscience alive. So we would like to honor Cindy Corrie. We salute this family, we salute her, we salute her husband for raising a daughter like Rachel. Please welcome Honorable Cindy Corrie with a salawat.
We are going to try and play a short video clip of Rachel Corrie. Bear with us for a couple of minutes, inshallah.
For other children, I'm here because I care. I'm here because children everywhere are suffering and because 40,000 people die each day from hunger. I'm here because those people are mostly children. We have got to understand that the poor are all around us and we're ignoring them. We have got to understand that these deaths are preventable. We have got to understand that people in third world countries think and care and smile and cry just like us. We have got to understand that they are us. We are them. My dream is to stop hunger by the year 2000. My dream is to give the poor a chance. My dream is to save the 40,000 people who die each day. My dream can and will come true if we all look into the future and see the light that shines there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm aware that it's getting a bit late, so I won't take too much time. But I want to thank the Muslim Congress and to my Seattle neighbors as well for bringing me here, for making it possible for me to be with you today, and for remembering my daughter, Rachel, her life and her actions. I'd also like to say a thank you to those who have reached out to me today, welcomed me here, and shared your own stories and shared your ideas with me and helped me to get to know you better. I appreciate the welcome and I appreciate the connections that we're making. And I want to thank all of you for the commitment that I see that you are making as Muslims to develop as well-informed, active, and successful citizens here. I want to encourage you in that and to commend you for your emphasis on challenging oppression wherever you find it. I know I heard today that we are obligated to stand against oppression and in support of every oppressed person. And I think that's a wonderful guide for every human being. I'll just say very briefly that Rachel brought her family to the issue of Israel and Palestine. She initiated our education, and she left us with a great deal of opportunity and with direction. My husband and I, Craig, have made 5 trips to the Gaza Strip through the years. We would like to go more often, but as you know, it becomes very, very difficult to do that. We've been in the West Bank and in Israel many times. So we feel like we have a strong family of supporters there, and we feel very close to all the people in the region. One of our delegations was with Medea Benjamin in 2009 after Operation Cast Lead. We went on a Code Pink delegation to Gaza, and I'd just like to give a bit of a shout out to Medea for being here today as well with you and for her courage, her leadership, and her creativity in tackling these problems. I think we're very, very lucky to have her here. I'm not going to recite them, but through the years, we keep hearing about the repeated attacks on the people of Gaza, particularly, and Gaza is very dear to my heart. And we hear the same terrible statistics from year to year to year about the food insecurity, about the number of children and people who are killed, about the water situation, the lack of electricity, the inability for people to fish, and the demolition of Palestinian homes. And now we are seeing an extension of these crises throughout the Middle East. I'm here to say that I believe we all make a difference and that we are creating changes in the discourse here in the United States, where it is so important, as you well know, to impact what's happening with our government, to change those policies. And I sincerely believe that we are doing that. We are having an effect. And so I just want to briefly emphasize to you that we all must be present. I'm going to give you just a short example. We decided, I'm with the Rachel Corey Foundation in Olympia, Washington. We're a very small nonprofit. We try to do as much work as we can. But this year, we decided to draft a resolution on Palestine that was circulated at caucuses, and we encouraged all parties parties, no matter what political party, to bring forward a resolution on Palestine. And so in caucuses, particularly in the Democratic Party, that happened. And it happened in my county, in Seattle, and in different places. And I decided I needed to be present to see what that process looked like. So I went to my county Democratic Central Committee meeting. About 100 people were there, many of them Bernie Sanders fans. And there was a clipboard passed around, and they asked for volunteers to be on the platform committee. So I wrote my name on the list. And I then ended up participating with about 15 other people in our little county, Thurston County, to draft the platform about many issues that matter to us all, but also about one that matters very personally to me, Palestine. And I want to tell you that I watched that process. We had an exceptionally fine platform committee, I think. But we then had to take that platform to our county convention. And we managed to get a plank into our county platform supporting BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions, a nonviolent method of opposing the oppression that is happening in all of Palestine. And also a plank calling for equal rights for Palestinians. And our resolution actually spoke to even more about that. It spoke about the right of return or just compensation and other elements to support the Palestinian people. In Thurston County, in the state of Washington, those platform planks passed. Even though there was opposition, we passed those into our county platform. And you'll be able to read them on the county website. And the resolution as well was passed. And so I'm telling you that in my own locale, but even farther, there's much work to do, but there is ability to make progress if we are present. And you can be present in larger ways, depending on your time, or in small ways. But there is work to be done. There's one last story I want to share with you. I have a colleague who says that it is still all about education, education, education. And we have the ability to help people better understand by using our voices. I want to tell you about Fatima, who is from the Seattle area. I met her for the first time this afternoon, but I learned about her earlier. She's 15 years old. She's here in this conference. She had a project in school, a project to talk about somebody from Washington State that had made a historical difference in the world. And so Fatima, talking with her family, chose to share Rachel's story. And I had a conversation with her about that this afternoon and about how successful and how receptive her class was to hearing that story about what Rachel did in Gaza. And I think it's important. I'm so happy to see how you embrace your children, and they are here with you. And I just want to encourage you to empower their voices, because our generation has not made it yet. We need them. And I want you to empower the Fatimas of this group to do more. I'm just going to close a little bit to say that Rachel is remembered by many people, and we feel blessed by that. That's extremely helpful to our family. But it is important through her to ensure that all of the others that we know have suffered from these policies, from these decades of occupation, that they are remembered too. And so I would just encourage you, as you remember Rachel, to make sure that in doing that, you're bringing forth the stories of all those others. I want to tell you a few things about her very quickly. She was the best listener in our family. And she had a gift for listening to people. She had a gift for being with people. And in Gaza, not there just to help, but to be with those people in solidarity with the people, and to allow those other voices to come forward and be heard. I want to tell you how much she valued our diversity here in this country and throughout the world, how much she found joy in that and learning about people of different cultures with different ideas. I'm going to close with a letter. I was so thrilled when this was brought to me in 2003. Rachel stayed in a family where the daughter in the family, her name was Nyla, and when I went to Gaza for the first time in September of 2003, I met Nyla, and she handed me her notebook, and she said, "This is the letter that Rachel left for me, that she wrote for me. I'll just share it with you. Nyla, you are a beautiful person inside and out. You have been very kind to me, and I can see that you have a good heart. I can also see that you are very intelligent. Thank you for being my friend, for helping me with Arabic, for accepting me into your home. I will never forget your generosity. You are a very talented person. Do not ever forget that you deserve all the best things in life. I hope you will follow your dreams. I believe that you will be good at whatever you do. Whether you are a teacher, a chemist, a translator, a diplomat, or anything else, the world will be better because of your work. Life is difficult for people here in Rafah. The world should be ashamed of this. But also we should be inspired by people like you who show human beings can be kind, brave, generous, beautiful, strong, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Thank you for existing, for helping me see how good people can be despite great hardship. I will be thinking of you. Follow your dreams. Believe in yourself. Don't give up. Much love and respect. Rachel Corey from Olympia, Washington, USA." Thank you very much. Thank you.